Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're chatting with Craig Hemke, founder and editor of tfmetalsreport.com. We will link below this interview to Craig's site. We're going to be focusing on the US dollar and silver in this interview. We haven't touched too much on just these two markets or sectors, so Craig has shared a couple charts with us, one for the dollar, one for silver. We're going to start off with the dollar chart. It's a daily candlestick chart going back to June of last year, and that's right when the dollar bottomed most recently in 2021, just below that 90 level. And boy, oh boy, this is a pretty steeply upward sloping channel that you have laid out here, where the blue line on the bottom clearly shows that every time the dollar gets close, it pops higher, and the red line, we had a breakout in mid-November all through January, or all through December until January, and then a bit of a pullback. But again, hasn't broken out of this channel. My big takeaway from here is look at how steeply sloping this channel is, because the dollar has gone in a matter of 7 months from under 90 the whole way up to highs of just short of 98. That's big moves for a big currency. Craig, share with us some of your thoughts on this chart, please.
Well, hello, guys. Yeah, it's been an interesting week in the dollar, in that just over the past 5 or 6 days, you had this big spike out of the FOMC meeting, you know, where they're talking about ending QE and maybe running the balance sheet down and all that kind of jazz. And you got that spike Wednesday and Thursday of last week. And then you got, you know, for people that really get into this kind of stuff, what's called a spinning top little candlestick, where it tested upside, tested downside last Friday, and then ended up right in the middle. And so the candle kind of looks like a little spinning top. And then Monday comes with a candle red back down that's almost identical in range to the green upside one on Thursday of last week when we last spoke. And it's been down now every single day this week. In fact, I think the dollar index is actually lower than it was at the FOMC last week. It's down 2 points on the week. But the important thing about this channel is just to show you that it's the trend is still higher. I joke on my side, I call it my proprietary channel, because I've never seen anybody ever draw this channel, which is kind of surprising, because it's pretty obvious to me where it starts and why it starts there. And it's pretty obvious to me that it works. The channel starts at the FOMC meeting back in June of last year. And that was kind of the initial, I guess, starting point of the Fed trying to change policy. They had printed all this cash. They were at the risk of running short-term rates negative because there was all this cash from money market funds and institutions and the rest looking for a, you know, overnight, very short-term home. And there was more cash than there was supply of that sort of debt. And so they were risking running short rates negative. And so the Fed started paying an annualized rate of 5 basis points interest on their excess bank reserves. It was at that point that this reverse repo thing then took off. You know, there was hardly any reverse repo overnight volume at that point. And now what do we, I mean, we get to $2 trillion back at the end of last quarter, and it's still about $1.6 trillion today, because that's just cash. It's just being quarantined, if you will, on a nightly basis at the Fed. So anyway, that move, that little itty bitty 5 basis point thing, is that first move by the Fed to start trying to reverse policy. And that's when this channel begins. And those are two perfectly parallel lines, as they should be. And anybody eyeballing it can see the blue bottom of the channel has been support. The red top of the channel has been resistance, but then it also became support back late last year when the dollar index got above there. Anyway, the point of all this is that as much as this has been a tough week for the dollar with the euro moving up and that sort of thing, it's still in the channel. So if you want to watch anything tomorrow after the jobs report, maybe into next week, even the following week, watch this channel. If the dollar breaks down out of this channel, then that would be your first hint that this uptrend that began with those initial moves of the Fed tightening has been broken. And the other key level is exactly where we bottomed about a month ago, which is 94.65. That was a low for the dollar index in March of 2020. Then once that level was taken out in June of 2020, it came back up, found resistance at that level. And so for whatever reason, 94.65 is important. That low a month ago was like 94.62. So if you really want to get into the technical stuff, watch that 94.65 level on a weekly closing basis. You close below there on a weekly basis and you break down out of this channel, then maybe we'll have something to talk about whether we've had kind of a sea change in the direction of the dollar.
Well, Craig, I appreciate you sharing that chart with our audience and that channel, the proprietary channel, albeit.
Yeah.
But one of the questions I have is, do you think a lot of this uptrend in the dollar, based on when it started with the June FOMC, was people buying the rumor? And now that we're getting close to the Fed rate hikes actually starting and the tapering of their bond purchasing actually coming to a close in the next, let's say, month or two, do you think that it may be more a sell the news event in the dollar, where we can break down below that blue trend line and where we may see the dollar roll over now that we're actually getting close to the actual policy itself being implemented?
Shad, you nailed it. I think that's right. That's kind of front running the Fed maybe the last 6 months. And now you've got, even today, the ECB talking about raising rates, Bank of England raising rates. So everybody's on board. And then as you look forward now, there's beginning to be more emphasis on what the Fed will do next. I mean, they haven't even started tightening yet. And the emphasis now is becoming, wait a second, what's going to happen after they finish tightening? How far can they even go? Last Friday, that guy down at the Atlanta Fed who predicts, has his own model based on, you know, a kind of an active model, looking at all the information that's coming in over the course of the quarter, and then projects where that quarterly GDP is going to be. Well, he put out his first guess for the first quarter of this year at just plus 0.1%. So here we are, maybe tightening into a building recession, stagflationary recession. That those data points are out there to be assessed that way, if you choose to look at it that way. I was joking on my site this week, you didn't gamble on anything these days, right? And I'm not just talking like, you know, cricket and soccer matches. I'm in the markets, you can gamble on anything. There are, and maybe people don't know this, there are forward interest rates, okay? Not just the current nominal rate, you know, the two-year notes at 120 or whatever it is. You can actually, there's actually a two-year forward rate projecting where it'll be a year from now. There's a 10-year note forward rate. There's a long bond forward rate. That those forward rates a year from now are indicate a flat yield curve, suggesting that the Fed will try to tighten, the two-year will move up, but anticipation of a recession or an ongoing recession, long end will be coming down. So all of this then means, you know, this talk about the Fed and a policy error and they're tightening into recession, stagflationary recession, all this kind of stuff is probably true. And so finally, I guess just to double back to what you said, Shad, the foreign currency markets take a 6 months buying the rumor of the Fed tightening. But now maybe they're starting to, you know, not only are now other central banks starting to do it, which, you know, the dollar index is just a weighted little average of all these other fiat currencies. Now maybe the thought is, well, wait a second, what's the Fed going to do next? Eventually, this, you know, all uptrends and downtrends, you know, eventually break. This channel will be broken one way or the other. I mean, eventually it'll break to the downside. And that'll, like I said, that'll be the thing to watch, because when it does, that'll tell you that, you know, the sea change is happening.
All right. Well, Craig, one thing to consider with currencies, look, as you said, they're all weighted against each other. So not unexpected, I think, to see a little bit of weakness in the dollar because of just how much it's run. And now the tighter that Europe is getting, because Europe has been really lagging behind the U.S. in terms of reopening. Let's move over to silver. You shared with us this daily candlestick chart here, going back again to little before June of last year. And we have the red line, which is the 50-day moving average. We're going to focus a bit more on this green line, though, which is the 200-day moving average. Once silver broke below that 200-day moving average in July, it's, well, not been able to break back above it. It's tested it a couple times, and each time it tested it, it's pretty quickly turned around. To me, this just further shows that the bears are more in control of this market. But what's your takeaway here, Craig?
Yeah, I'd say that's true for sure, Corey, at least at this point. Well, let's double back one thing on the dollar index. A lot of times you get this kind of, it's not naive, it's just overly simplistic way of saying, oh, the gold only goes up when the dollar goes down and vice versa. Dollar index is what, 96? You can pull up a long-term dollar index chart and see that the dollar index was 96 in 2003 when gold was $300 an ounce. You know, you can show the dollar index at 96. in 2015, you know, when gold was $1,200 an ounce. Okay, so on a day-to-day basis, it's more of a headwind or a tailwind based on how the algos are buying or selling. It's a little more directly correlated, but still not entirely correlated with silver prices. So it's maybe more important to keep in mind how the dollar impacts the algos that buy silver futures more so than gold. But nonetheless, look at that silver chart. Yeah, this is worth watching. Clearly, it's in a downtrend, has been in a downtrend, really not a direct inverse to that dollar chart. But again, since June, right? Broke down below its 50-day and its 200-day back in June. Finally fell substantially below the 200-day moving average. Let's see, what is that, about a month later, I suppose, in the middle of July? Okay, then look what happened next. In early August, there's one day where the candle reaches up and taps the 200-day moving average. At that point, it was up north of 26. Once it then failed and fell below, it went all the way to 22, which is an important weekly closing level. A one-day drop below to 21.5, quick reversal in late September, and then went back to the 200-day moving average. Where it failed again in November. What happened? Well, once it broke down, it went down to 22, had a one-day plunge to 21.5 where it reversed and rallied back up. And then what happened? It went back to the 200-day moving average 2 weeks ago today. In fact, it got within, remember we laughed about it that day, it got within 0.5 cent of the 200-day moving average that day. So I don't know why, especially after these last 2 days of failing, going up to the 50-day, the red line, and then falling back. I don't know why at this point an aggressive trader wouldn't go, well, I think I'll put in a stink bid for about 21.50 and see what happens, because that would be logical to assume that's coming next on another one-day reversal. The key level longer term is 22. We've talked about that now for about a year and a half. As long as we don't close below there on a weekly basis, then we're still just flagging sideways and digesting that move from the summer of 2020. But below 22 opens up the possibility of a very short-term plunge, I would think. Maybe 1975, something like that. You look at the shares. We talked last week about how the GDX and the GDXJ seem to track silver so closely. The shares certainly look like, now the GDX looks like it wants to maybe go to 26 if it breaks down below 29. So how would you get a 10% down move in the shares to your 2022 bottom near 26? Well, you'd maybe get a quick plunge in silver down to 20 or just below. That would probably do it. How would that happen? I don't know. Maybe another spike in the dollar, one last spike in the dollar. I don't. Again, this is all obviously just speculation. It doesn't have to work that way. But it's something I think we should think about. And again, if anything, watching the jobs report tomorrow, everything else over the rest of this month, let's just see if this pattern doesn't play out again. You get a one-day plunge down to 21.50 before another rally attempt.
Well, Craig, just with regards to silver, I know that it generally tracks gold. It doesn't always have to. Sometimes it has that industrial component where it'll track the commodity sector as a whole, but it really hasn't tracked either that well. Is it just marching to the beat of its own drum? Because if it was going to break out to new highs like copper, zinc, nickel, aluminum, iron, you know, it would have already broken above that 30 and marched a little bit higher. Now, some of the down moves do seem correlated with the big swoons we see in gold, but even then, gold's held its own more than silver has. What do you think's going on with silver just from a fundamental versus the technical situation? It seems to just kind of be stuck in its own world, and it doesn't seem to be reacting to either the precious metals component or the industrial component to its story.
Well, I'll try to give you an answer that is just purely fundamental based, maybe. I don't know, psychologically based. Let's just go there rather than other speculations that I might normally add. Price of silver spent about 7 years below 22, from 13 to 20. It actually spent 6 years, primarily between 14 and 18. And that was that's a long time, not only for those of us that, you know, hold the stuff physically, but for companies that use silver. The bankers that, you know, the bullion bankers that, you know, work with silver miners, traders, the mints, I mean, everybody got used to this average price of $16. And then what happens over the course of about 3 or 4 weeks in the summer of 2020, it goes from 18 to 28. And now suddenly over the last, I don't know, 15 months, what's the average price been? 26. That's probably about right. So I was all excited, as it happened, you think, okay, yeah, it's just going to keep going. But it's also, I guess, logical in hindsight to have expected that after 7 years of averaging $16, and all of a sudden, in a course of less than a month, price resets to an average of 26, it's going to take a while for that to kind of sink in as a new normal, for all the different users and wholesalers and suppliers and banks and traders and everybody, it kind of has to get used to the new normal. And that's, I think psychologically, I think that's what the thing is. And again, I think we mentioned this last week. The good news about all of this is there's pretty clear signposts for everybody. I mentioned a weekly close below 22. That would be a bad sign. And you should make everybody aware that there's probably another 10% downside coming. However, on the upside, as we just discussed, all this resistance at the 200-day, well, a move above the 200-day is going to get everybody's attention and get everybody talking about a move up to 28. Anything moving above 28, gosh, you put a 3 on the beginning of the price, and everybody's going to freak out and get all excited again, and price is going to begin to accelerate. So the bright side of a consolidation like this is that everybody, there won't be anybody saying, I don't see it. No, I'm not sure I see that on the chart. Everybody will see it. And when you get everybody kind of moving to the same side of the boat, things tend to move pretty quickly.
All right, Craig, very interesting comments. And boy, I sure wish it was a rosier outlook for silver right now. But once it broke below that 200-day, it's had a heck of a time just even getting back to it. And boy, does it reverse quickly. And yeah, the dollar just keeps on moving higher. But again, some weakness is due. But again, that dollar chart really shows the strength that it has gone through. All right, Craig, great chatting with you, buddy. We'll chat again next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thanks, guys.